From the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head. That wouldn't have been my choice, but... And he lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a stairway set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first.
Well, hello. I was thinking if I wanted to take credit for any one thing in my ministry besides not ruining you, it would have to be wooing Christopher Morgan Lloyd to leave his job and come to be here. Do you? Awesome. Also, it is fun to be here with both of my sisters, my local sisters, Sandy, who, though younger, well, we'll just leave it there. Yes, she is younger. And my sister Lori is here hidden. There she is. So Lori also just retired from 38 years at Alfred Union University Church. Amazing. And for those who were on my search committee, you might recall that we went to her church for my, what they call a neutral pulpit. And after I preached, Lori got up and said, "Well, this is called a neutral pulpit, but we are not at all neutral. We are completely biased, and we think you should hire her." So thanks, Lori. Good plug. So I wanted to start today from a place of unfiltered truth, which is that, honestly, it does feel weird. It feels weird to be standing here behind this pulpit, which is exactly the same pulpit, hasn't changed. It's strange to look out and to see all of your faces that are so beloved and so known to me, but at the same time recognizing that, you know, a lot has changed. So we've been through some stuff since we last worshiped together, all of us. So it is both strange and familiar, which equals weird. It is good to see you, though. And for those that I have not yet met, I'm glad that our paths will have crossed for at least this one time, for these brief moments, on what is truly a sacred day here in the history of First Baptist Church. So I thought it would be worth taking no more than 2 minutes to bring you up to speed on my life. And this is for three reasons. One, because sermons always do things in threes. Two, that way we can spend the rest of the morning catching up on your lives. And three, it does provide some needed context for this sermon. So here's the Reader's Digest version. After leaving here in 2005, I served two painfully dysfunctional churches in a row. While I take no blame for their dysfunction, neither can I take really much credit for any significant healing during my time with them. So these were rough years professionally after I left here. About 6 years ago, I found my way to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Rochester, which was enough like this congregation to risk one more chapter of ministry. And we did serve well together until I retired this past September. So I now spend my time working for a nonprofit, Lifespan of Rochester, that allows me to make a living teaching mostly Tai Chi to mostly older adults throughout the Finger Lakes region. On a personal level, Michael Anna and her husband have blessed us with two thoroughly enjoyable and amazing granddaughters who live nearby. She is currently here for the festival, selling handcrafted earrings from a booth on the commons, so if you've not made it yet, she probably still has some left. Naomi lives with her partner out on the West Coast doing something or other with video game design. And as many of you know, my handsome and hugely gifted musician husband, Mache, he died of cancer a year and a half ago. So yes, a lot of life has happened since last we were together. And frankly, I had no intention of ever preaching again. But when you folks approached me with this request, I knew that I really had to say yes. First of all, because what an honor. Your 200-year birthday celebration, it is an honor to have been asked on such a significant occasion. But mostly, I said yes because it was also such a great opportunity for me to say thank you. So I will start and end with that. Thank you. But before we bring this round to the end where I get to say thank you one more time, I want to talk a little about Jacob. Jacob. What a great character from the Hebrew Scriptures. Jacob, patient, impulsive, weaselly, wise, foolish, devoted, you know, a well-rounded human being, right? In the story read earlier, Jacob has just left home to begin his life as an independent adult. And along the way, he has a dream. And in this dream, God speaks to him. And God shares a vision of their future together. Jacob wakes up, and as it is written, he takes that comfortable stone that he has been using as a pillow, and he uses it to build a pillar, marking the spot and naming it Bethel, the house of God. Jacob then travels on, but in his mind, he is able to return to that pillar whenever he needs to. Whenever he needs to be reminded that there is a sacred place in this world where he encountered God. So while the stones were planted there in Bethel, they anchored Jacob's spirit no matter where he traveled. I know this because this is what First Baptist Church of Ithaca has been and done for me. As I shared earlier, after leaving 10 years of Love Fest here in Ithaca, where we shared affection and service and covenantal empowerment, I entered a wilderness period for just about another 10 years worth of ministry. I won't try to make it sound any prettier than it was. It was miserable. It was frustrating, heartbreaking, disillusioning, and exhausting. So except for the fact that there were some very positive things happening for Moshe and his career, and that I did meet some truly good folks, although they were not in those churches, it was a pretty awful time. And it could easily have led to my questioning my own calling. It could have led to me questioning my own spirit, my gifts, even God, except for one thing, really, truly one thing. When I first arrived at this church here in Ithaca, I don't know if you remember, but we built an altar out of stones. I don't know, maybe you remember making that altar of stones? The stones were piled here for a while. And with that building of that altar, we made a covenant together. I still have some of those actual stones, but more importantly, like Jacob, I carried the knowledge and the memory of that pillar with me. I returned to that pile of stones in my mind so many times, remembering that I had stood in a place where God was real, where my ministry gifts were valued, where the only church policy that ever mattered here was love. We fussed about some things, but we loved each other and it really didn't matter. You anchored me. You grounded me. So I keep thinking about this phrase about being grounded. I think about parents whose teenagers are acting out. And in some way, you know, they're just out there flexing their muscles, getting in trouble. And the parents who respond to this by saying, "You're grounded." When I think about this, I kind of cheer for it. When that punishment of being grounded is really imposed from the most loving of intentions, grounding a child, calling that child back home, giving them some time and some space away from their peers to remember who they are, just to reground, to become more centered, more whole, and then to go back out into the world as that grounded person. So you have grounded me over and over and over again as my life has encountered the many challenges that come to us as humans, professional, personal, and spiritual. So for sure, I could preach that whole sermon that you've all heard a million times before about how it's not the building, it's the people, right? It is the party line. I approve this message. But today, just for a change, I want to honor this building. I want to honor this pile of stones. I like to believe that when it was first built here on DeWitt Park, it wasn't just because somebody thought it would be a pretty place for a church and assumed that God would agree and would probably zip by for a visit from time to time. You know, that would be nice. I'd like to believe instead that those original founders had experienced God in this place, and they piled up these stones to mark the encounter, and then opened the doors for the rest of us to come in and to share in that experience. And since those founders aren't here to say otherwise, I'm claiming that story for us today. Now, like many of you, the older I get, the less I feel certain about knowing anything. Anybody? We know nothing. One of those things that I absolutely don't know is related to the spiritual life of the physical world around us. So I've debated sharing something that happened after Moshe died, because it falls in the realm of what, as many of you may remember, I used to call hooby-dooby. But honestly, if you can't be Hooby Dooby in Ithaca, I mean, right? So quick story, my Hooby Dooby story for you. When Miche, or as I called him, Mick, when Mick was a young man, he left Philadelphia to travel the country with a hotel band. That's how he got around, got to see the world. And early on in that adventure, he bought a pendant. I don't think he knew really what it was. It was a St. Christopher pendant. I suspect some girl probably led him to it. But whatever. He wore that St. Christopher medal every day for the rest of his life. He was never without that pendant, except for one time. Very shortly before he died, he took it off at a medical appointment and lost it. Couldn't find it. So I bought him another one that looked similar. He wore it briefly, and then later sent it to Naomi after he died when she asked for it. However, after he did die, I couldn't quite let go of it, so I called around to every medical practitioner he had seen those last months, trying to track it down, but no luck. Now I need you to participate here. Pretend you're watching a movie, and you know how they do that calendar thing where suddenly the pages all flip to show time passing? Okay, flip the calendar in your mind. 15 months. Okay, so 15 months go by. I was facing what seemed to be a huge problem, which was that my garage door opener was missing. So I did what I always do first, and I called Michael. Michael, my garage door opener's missing. We talked through the possibilities of it possibly have been stolen from a parking lot and what that might mean and what to do about this situation. It was a huge topic. For a couple of weeks, until I watched a YouTube video and discovered it takes about 5 minutes to change a garage door opener. So heads up, 5 minutes. Go me. Naturally, the minute I reprogram this new one, what do I find? The garage door opener shows up. Anyway, so now you've got these two scenes in your mind. You've got 15 months have passed, and now we've just spent 2 weeks looking for a garage door opener. My sisters and I, Sandy and Lori and I, took a weekend away to celebrate my retirement and hers. So, of course, I left packing till the very last second, grabbed an old gym bag, stuffed a few clothes in, went off, had fun playing board games for how many hours? 48 hours of board games. Came home and was unpacking things to throw into the wash, and there it was. The pendant. So you have those scenes in your head still, right? You've got the 15 months passing, you've got Michael and I spending 2 weeks talking about a missing garage door opener. I call her up, I say, guess what I just found? Without missing a beat, without even taking a breath, she says, the pendant. I could not believe that she had just said that. So I checked what I was hearing. What pendant? She didn't hear the doubt in my voice. She's just very excited, and she says, Dad's necklace. So this may seem like a small thing, but in my mind, there was simply no reason for her to even be thinking about that pendant anymore, let alone have it be her immediate thought in that moment. Except, and here's the hooby-dooby part, its physical connection to Mick had just been so strong that it sang out when it was found. It manifested an encounter with his spirit. And I believe that that is true. So I want you to listen to these words from Paul to the church in Corinth. He wrote this, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. That foundation was Jesus Christ. And now, someone else, each of you, is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. The foundation for this church, First Baptist Church of Ithaca, was laid 200 years ago. Since that time, each and every person who has passed through this place has built on it, has added their own spirit to it. These stones around us sing out with each and every voice that has ever prayed here, ever sung, ever wept, ever rejoiced in its space. Each of you today are strengthening that spirit for the next person who finds their way here. One of my most profound memories linked to this sanctuary is from September 11th, 2001. Linda Coy called me that morning shortly after 9, and she said, "Turn on your TV." We didn't have a TV, so I tuned in the radio, and I began to hear the horrifying reports of what was happening. I'm sure you all remember where you were as you were hearing it. My immediate thought was, we need to open the church so that people can gather there if they just need a place to be. And then I immediately questioned that decision. And I thought, I don't know if it's safe for people to come together in one place. I don't know if you remember, it was so crazy. We had no idea what was happening. Nobody understood what was going on. We didn't know what might happen next. And so, should we or should we not be gathering people together in one place? Well, I came down, we unlocked the doors, and we spread the word, you know, Ithaca, Grapevine, for anyone that just needed to be someplace, either to pray or to be with other people, whatever it was. Not long after, a stranger walked in. It was a young woman. She looked scared and lost, as we all did. And she said words that have stayed with me ever since. She said, "I knew you'd be open." I knew you'd be open. This may seem like another small thing, but in my mind, it spoke of the whole reason that this church was here. She knew we would be open because that's what these stones have absorbed. And that's who this church has become over 200 years. A place of welcome, of safety, of sanctuary, of acceptance, of peace, of hope. We live in a world that is constantly challenging those very values. Our celebration takes place today in the midst of a news cycle that could easily reduce us to despair. The relentless and overwhelming challenges of life in the 21st century continue to threaten to douse the flames of Pentecost. But not here. Not here in this place. Not in this place where 200 years ago, amazing, God shared a vision. And not in this space where that vision has been built on over and over and over and over and over again by each person who has passed through here. Even so, this morning's joy will recede as we go back out into our days, and we will be faced once again with all that stands between where we are now and where God has called us to be. So for that reason, I think it's appropriate to end this with this reminder from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to these amazing words from Isaiah. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone. It is a tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And here's what it will say. Listen to this. Here's what it's going to say. The one who trusts will not panic. I looked this up in multiple translations just because I'm like, really? That's what it was saying? Yes, that's what it will say. The one who trusts will not panic. Friends, loved ones, the world is a mess. Do not panic. Trust in the Spirit. Trust in each other. Trust in these stones, which have been laid together to create this anchor. For your spirit and mine, God is here. Do not panic. On your way out today, perhaps take a moment to lay your hands on these walls, touch these stones, and say, thank you. And from me to all of you, thank you. Thank you for grounding me, my spirit. Thank you for anchoring my faith through all of these years. May these stones be a witness between me and you this day and in all the days to come. I love you. Amen.